Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
And they had a host for it, and he didn't work out too well, and they asked me on a Friday to come up with some way to make a transition and take over the program the following Monday morning, or Monday evening. So from Friday, I went to lunch with a man here, and I had been an honorary sheriff under Sheriff Eugene Biscalus, and that was the hook that we put it together with Sheriff John. And I bought a khaki uniform on Saturday morning at an Army Navy surplus store, and black tie, and pinned on the badge, which I had, as I said, from being an honorary member of Sheriff Biscalus' department, and sat down Monday at 5:30 with a program called Cartoon Time.
And so, do you remember what kind of cartoons you were showing at that time? Was it a package from...
They were cartoons way back in the early days, some early Warner Brothers, Crazy Cat, and Dave Fleischman, I believe?
Fleischer.
Out of the Inkwell.
Yeah.
Some of the real early cartoons we had, they had a package. And they had a few others. So we started with that what we had then, and started out the program. When they wanted to make the transition to this other program, why, they called me in and asked me if I'd ever done a children's program. And I had done a narration of a program back in Ohio, because I had some TV experience back there before I came out here. I had written that, a little show called Drawing for Fun, and did the narration on that. And that was the only thing, however, I hadn't been on camera. And so we sat down and we had to have a set, and we put up a backboard and made it look like a sheriff's office. I put a little, remember there was a little kind of a squawk box on the desk we used as a thing to say that we created a character called the Movie Marshal. I'll roll the cartoon Movie Marshal, we'll take a look at it. And, you know, it was all sort of touch and go, feel your way and figure out what to do. And had a few reward posters up behind me and sort of started out the idea we were going to have fun and watch cartoons together. And so for half an hour we managed to get through the first programs and got started, and then things started to evolve from that.
So you started this program, and was it like a temporary experimental kind of project when it started off?
Well, all the shows in those days were. I mean, if you got a show on television, it wasn't very hard to do if you had any idea, because they were looking for programming. And shows would go on with somebody would bring one in, or they would think one up here, and they would go on, and if they lasted 2, 3, 4 weeks or something, whatever, that was a big run. And then something else would happen, they'd move programming. And we were only on the air at those times. When we first started on the air, we were only on from 6 to 9 in the evening, when we first started, prior to my children's program. And then we opened up time to, you know, 4 o'clock, and then noon to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And it depended, because you had to have enough programming to fill the hours that you were on the air. So it was, all the stations were starting to do programming, and they started with 3, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 and 7, and stayed on all day, and then started going into night. So they were all experimental in those days, and put a program on and see if the people liked it. And they came, programs came and went as fast as could be.
Now, how fast did the show develop? I mean, what did you do, like a super crash course of what your format would be, or did it just kind of one thing develop after the next?
Well, one thing would develop after another. We decided to have people write in for a little identification cards, so we printed some of those up, membership cards, Sheriff John's cartoon, or I guess we were calling it the Fun Brigade, and that became a part of Cartoon Time, the Fun Brigade. And from that, We sent out little membership cards, and then we had people request birthdays, and we weren't on at noon yet. We were doing the evening. And then I remember about that time we had a show from 5:30 to 6, and then they wanted me to come back to fill 6:15 to 6:30, so I'd come back and do a quarter hour. Because, as I say, they were trying to, what do we do with programming, you know? And something probably had canceled at 6:15, so I came back and did another quarter hour, and like a little hobby show or something, and then join the fun when Uncle Bill, Mr. French, Jody, Buffy, and Sissy find that growing up is always a family affair tonight at 5:30. And right after Family Affair, join the warm-hearted Brady Bunch with Florence Henderson, Robert Reed, and the rest of the gang tonight at 6. James Earl Ray, Robert Vesco, and Terry Moore on The Truth with Jack Anderson Friday at 8:30. So it's automatic when the A1 comes up there at the top line. Whatever's the top line is what's up. And this is the program, I Love Lucy. And then we'll go to a videotape for a minute 30, and then another videotape for 25, and I'll tag it. Put a tag, commercial tag on one, and then I'll read a public service announcement for 10 seconds. These are the times on the left, and the A1 there is where I talk. And it just moves up to the top. It goes automation.
Did you ever have a chance to read a book between all this, or what do you do with your time between
Well, you keep the log here, and if anything goes wrong, you know, whatever.
Just really stay aware.
Yeah, right.
In case a tape blows, or...
Yeah, tape goes, or the film breaks, or whatever, really. And then they go to a panic slide, or a slide hole, and move on to the next, and then that has to be entered here. And if we lose a commercial, try to make it up and keep on schedule.
The birthday song, when did that start?
Well, that started when later on we went from the cartoon time format, and then we added that became popular and was sold out commercially, and then they opened up a half hour at noon lunch brigade, and in that segment that we had been getting requests for birthdays, so we got a birthday cake made up of plaster Paris and decorated and made up and put on a Lazy Susan and spin around. And about 50, I was using a theme song called When You're Smiling to start with. And then after the show, won an Emmy in 1953. For the best children's show, and then I was approached by a recording company to make some recordings, and I got together with a fellow who was very clever at writing children's songs. We recorded, I forget now, the first session, about six tunes, or four or five records, anyway, eight sides, and then we did a tune called Laugh and Be Happy, and then we started using that as the theme song. Then birthdays came along, and also I had recorded a tune called Put Another Candle on My Birthday Cake. And then we started using that, and we started asking for birthdays, names, and we had the list then, and that expanded. Then the show at noon became an hour program instead of a half an hour. And then we stayed on with two shows a day for a period of time there for a couple of years. And then about that time, why the Disney, that was, well, I guess for maybe longer, 6 or 7 years, and sometime in the 60s, the Disney Mouseketeers program was going to come on. And they had called me and asked me to come out there to pick my brains a little bit about children's programming. And I talked to them and came back and said, you better get that cartoon time out of the way, because they're going to go on at 4 or 4:30 or 5 around there. And they're going to snowball everything because they've got camera, film, money, and all of Disney's things behind them, so I said we better get out of the way. So then we went from that, dropped the evening show, went to a morning and a noon show. And for a couple of years, I had a morning program. And then over a period of another 5 or 6, 7 years, then we dropped the morning show, and then I stayed on for the remainder of the time with the lunch brigade, which was always sort of the hub of everything. I either had an evening or noon and a morning, and then ended up with a noon show.
So they bounced you around depending on what you were up against, really?
Well, yeah, just in that case, they didn't bounce around. And there was a little shifting, but not like it is today. But as programs became, like when the 5:30 was sold out, they opened up a noon show program for more commercial buyers. And then when we took the 5:30 off, then they expanded the noon program and more commercial that sold out there. Even in the evening for a while, I had spot advertisers. Then I had sponsors. Howdy Doody was out here, and the sponsors of that were Kellogg's, and Kellogg's watched me and then bought quarter-hour programming. Mars Candy commercials bought quarter-hour programming. And
I remember Maggio Carrots.
And yeah, they came in right in about the first or second year, and he stayed with me all the way through. But then they had quarter-hour program buys, Red Goose Shoes. So I had really, in the evening then, for a while, I had expanded the show. Oh, it had expanded, and I was doing more or less sponsored quarter hours with Mars, Kellogg's. Kellogg's took a strip right across, and 5 days a week, and Mars took a quarter hour, and Red Goose Shoes took a couple of quarter hours a week. And then as that sold out, then we opened a noontime programming, as I said. Then that became popular. And then we moved, dropped the evening and went to noon and morning, and had either spots or program buys within the two shows.
Did you ever have children on that program?
we only tried that. Hold it just a minute.
All right.
In Los Angeles, call 520-8000. 1,000 Mile Campus programs of the California State University and College help adults get better jobs. Write 1,000 Mile Campus, 400 Golden Shore, Long Beach, 90802. Okay.
I asked you, did you have any children on your program?
For a period of one season, the station wanted to try to have some children in. And I had, over the years, resisted it because my feeling was that television was designed for the home, for entertainment in the home.
Who wants to watch children watch children?
And yeah, and that's what it turned out to be. I finally acquiesced and said, all right, fine, because they had somebody, every time we had a new program director, which were many, why, you know, let's change something. And I said, okay, if you'll get a girl that will handle tickets and writing the letters and scheduling the children in, we'll have four in a day, and there'll be contestants, and we'll have little games and things. So we did. And what it proved was that the ratings didn't vary, didn't change anything, except I think you divided your allegiance, because as I'd open the program, I'd sing, laugh, and be happy. Hi, nice to have you with us. We're going to see cartoons and do so and so today. And we had guests all over the period of time. We started building up with guests and people that would come in and on the show, firemen, policemen. Then we started doing a series of remote programs in the mornings and went to different locations. But with the minute you had children on the program, I would say, I'm glad to have you with me. And now I want you to meet, in effect, these four children who are going to win prizes and play games, and you're going to watch them. You know, and you immediately split your allegiance. Because you say, hi, I'm glad to have you with me today. Now, what is your name? You know, and you turn your back, really, almost on the audience. what is your name, and what, and talk to them, and they would do a stunt, and they'd do a game, and they'd win a prize, and the other ones would sit home, and they tried it, and as I said, nothing happened, so finally they gave up, and I said thank you, and went back to the original format we had.
So you really were a personality to a lot of children, at least you were to me.
Yeah, well, over the years, and I was the one talking to you and to them, and I didn't preach, and I didn't
really
talk down and what have you.
We
got a lot of good things across. I had help from the police department, the sheriff's department. When there'd be a rash of children climbing into refrigerators and freezers and dying, suffocating, and or matches or burns or whatever, they would notify me, and I'd say fine, and we'd make an announcement to that effect, and you know, talk to them and say it's no fun to play with matches, you can get burned. And I had visited burn wards and everything. I didn't go into the gruesome details, but you know, there are a lot of other things to play with. You know, you don't need matches, or play in safe places. And the advice, a lot of it would come from parents. Be sure and eat your food. And we had a checklist then of wake with a smile, straighten your bed, tidy up your room, comb and brush your hair, brush your teeth, health habits. We'd go through those things, and it was all a matter of routine. And it was things that were doing some good, you know, and evidently the children liked me and accepted it, and you know, I had a lot of examples of things that worked out where a little boy or girl knew what to do, you know.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.